Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit. Till that secret, sacred place in you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. We are in February, the second month of 2019. We are certainly moving forward. And I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey, CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. And I want to send a thank you to missionary, evangelist missionary, Terry Rogers, who was guest host on last week, and certainly she did a phenomenal job, and we thank God for her, and we thank God for her just accepting the assignment as being a guest host for this show. That's truly a blessing. So if that being said, the Lord is moving us forward. We are moving forward in ministry, and certainly it is my desire that we will not miss a Saturday broadcasting on Facebook, on the radio, and we get the word of God out. That is my endeavor. If you notice, we've changed from 30 minutes to 45 minutes. Some days, some Saturdays, it might be 30 minutes. Some Saturdays it might be 45 minutes, but it gives me a little bit more time to expound on the Word of God and not feel like I'm rushing through. and my time is winding up. So there will be times where we might go over a little bit than 30 minutes, and then there are times the Lord will say, well, that's enough, you said enough, and we will end on time. But we're trying to move forward as God directs us and leads us, and certainly we want to be a blessing and move as God leads us. So I want you to know that, of course, we're talking about a little bit of our announcements. Amazing Grace Ministries or Amazing Grace School of Ministries classes will be coming, and we will do those classes as we did last year. We would do them on the radio on Thursday night. And I thank God for my students who graduated on last year. And certainly they said that being online or being on the radio was a blessing, and they enjoyed that better. So that's coming. Also, I will be speaking at Redeeming Grace Church of God in Christ on March the 17th, 2017 at 3 p.m. And certainly all of those that can come out and meet me there, I would appreciate it. Well, it has been a brutal, we have had some brutal cold weather. I know of people that have had their pipes to burst. We've seen the news and we've seen the weather, and it's been negative 25, negative 55. But we thank God for his grace and his mercy. But we thank God for his love. Praise the Lord. And certainly today's lesson, we are starting a new series. We're in a new month. We're in a new series. And we want to talk about Love Brought Me Home. We're going to talk about what is love, why does God love me, and who is man that God is mindful of us. So let's read some scriptures. Of course, there is, I want to back up, and before I get into the scriptures, I forgot one announcement. We thank God for First Jurisdiction Church of God in Christ. They're on their 20th annual retreat and conference. And their theme is victory on the other side of the fight. And the verse that they're using for, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we want to salute First Jurisdiction of Illinois Church of God in Christ, Mother Shirley Hughes, who is the jurisdictional supervisor in this awesome retreat that is going on right now. We thank God for them. So let's get into the Word of God, shall we? We know this particular scripture, John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have an everlasting life. And, of course, we know 1 Corinthians, the book, the greatest book of love in the Bible in the New Testament, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, my cousin got married a few, not for you, but several years ago. And certainly in their wedding, they had this book read, this chapter in Corinthians that talks about love. If I could speak all the language earth and of angels but don't have love, if I don't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all God's secrets, plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but don't have love, but don't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrifice my body. I could boast about it, but if I don't love others, I will gain nothing. And certainly it goes on to talk about love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrong, of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoice whenever the truth wins over. And I'm reading the New Living Translation, verse 7. Love never gives up. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every situation. A prophecy and speaking in an unknown tongue and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. These partial things will become useless. No, but when time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And another verse I want to read is 1 John 4:16. And I'm reading the English Standard Version, which says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whosoever abides in love abides in God and abides in him. So when we look at this, and when we look at love, and that's what this month is all about. February, love brought us. Love brought me home. We look at February is big. One is Valentine's in February, but we also have Black History. I thought it was good that we look at God's love. We talked about the beginning of the year, finding Jesus. Now we're talking about God's love. So what is love? What is the definition of love? When we look at love, love can be challenged to define at the level of how a person experiences it. Love can involve personal affection, sexual attraction, platonic admiration, brotherly loyalty, malevolent concerns, worship and adoration. We need to understand or go back to the original or origin of love. And the Bible tells us that love originated from God. In the English language, the word love is forced to bear the burdens of a multitude. We love things from pancakes to parents, but it's vastly different. The language in which the Bible was written was in Hebrew and Greek. And it utilizes various types of words for love. So the ancient language differentiated from sexual, from brotherly, from family love, and it also distinguished the kind of love that God has for his creation and that we have for him. And certainly we're going to talk about, we're not going to talk about, and Eros is the kind of love that we have, attraction for one another, that causes us to say we're going to get married and that stuff. But we are talking about, and we're not going to talk about brotherly love today, but it exists between genders and those of close friendships and those that have brothers and sisters, but also in the family of Christ. When you go to church and you become adopted into the family of Christ, you become brothers and sisters or close friends. And there's a Hebrew word for that, and the example of that is David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel 20:17. And, of course, the Greek word for brotherly love is philo, and it refers to friendship, and certainly you can find those in John chapter 15 and 19 and Romans 12 and 10 and Hebrews 13 and 1. But we're talking a little bit more. We're talking about chesed love, and that's the Hebrew word, chesed, the Greek word, and in Greek it's called agape. So we want to talk about that. We want to talk about God's love that he has for us. And those are the words that God expresses love, or he demonstrates it towards us, his elect. Chesed is often translated as steadfast or loving kindness. A good example of this type of love, chesed love, that God has for us is found in Numbers 14 and 18. The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgressions. God's chastened love is why he never gives up on those he has adopted as his children throughout the Old Testament. God's people repeatedly fell into idolatry and sin, yet he always preserved a remnant. He never gives up on his people. The reason is his chesed love. You know, we could think of ourselves. A lot of times we've messed up. We've gotten to situations we know we shouldn't have gotten into. And we can always fall back on, you know what, God? If it had not been your love for me, where would I be today? So when we go into the New Testament, we go into the Greek word agape. And agape love is the goodwill and benevolence of God shown in a self-sufficient and an unconditional commitment to love one. Agape love, agape is similar to chesed in that it is steadfast regardless of situations. Agape love is the kind of love we are to have for God in fulfillment of the greatest commandment, which is Matthew 22 and 37, which reads, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all our mind. And then he jumps down to Matthew 22, same chapter, but we're going down to verse 39, and it reads, And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we're talking about love this month. We're talking about God's love for us and the fact that God so loved us that he made sacrifices so that we may have life. And I'm going back to it, and that more abundantly. So Jesus wants to instill in the New Testament agape in his fellow, his servants, or those that are following after him. And he does this through the Holy Spirit. Now, in the most basic sense, love is the emotion felt in actions formed by someone concerned for the well-being of another person. I'm going to say that again. Love is the emotions felt and actions performed by someone concerned for the well-being of another. Love involves affection, compassion, care, self-sacrifice. Love originated in the Godhead within the eternal relationship that exists among Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Here's the bottom line on love. This is how God shows his love for among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We love because he first loved us. Back to 1 John chapter 4, and this is a very good chapter to read in your time of meditation and prayer and seeking God to really allow him, the Holy Spirit, to just saturate you and allow the word to permeate your heart. Because one of the things that we are human beings, and certainly we cannot love unless God gives us the ability to love. We don't do anything of our own accord. We don't operate in our own accord. The scripture says, unless a man builds this house, then his labor is in vain. Meaning that if I try to build Maria, if I try to build her up, if I try to fill her with all knowledge and all wisdom and everything that I think Maria needs, and I'm doing it because Maria wants it done, then it's going to fail because I'm trying to build myself up. I'm trying to be all that I can be, and I'm not allowing God to build me. You know, we go through trials and tribulations. We don't understand why this world operates the way it does. But God is still in control. Now, let's read the word. This is 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or the sacrifice, or the final lamb that was laid on the altar of sacrifice that will be lifted up. His blood will be lifted us. 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And jumping down to 19, we love him because he first loved us. Nobody can saturate you with love like God can. Nobody can saturate you with love like God can. I'm going to say that a third time. No one can saturate you with love like God can. The reason why is because we are beings, fleshly beings. God's love have no restrictions. God loves us so that he said that he was going to send his son down on the cross to be the final sacrifice that we will ever have. And because God loved us, because Jesus loved us, we don't have to look to another God or godly image to say, well, this is love, or this is love, or God does not love me. And the enemy is a lie. The point I'm trying to make is this. God loved us so until He gave his life that we might have life in that more abundantly. And I keep saying that. But it's real. It's important for you to understand that this is love. This is why God came. This is God in action. God loves us so until he'll make a way out of no way. He will dry our tears. He will go through with us when we're going through tribulations, when we're going through trials, when we don't quite understand what's going on, even in the brutal cold that we've been experiencing on last week. God's love shows up, not for any characteristics that I may have, not because I'm smart, not because I'm stupid, not because I'm ignorant, but because I was made in his image, and because I was made in his image, he made a sacrifice. He created me. He cared enough, he loved enough to create me for his purpose. Now, what is agape love? The Greek word agape is often translated into love in the New Testament. And this is different because, again, it's goodwill, benevolence, and a willful delight in the objects of love. God is faithful. God is committed. God pours on us acts of love. God, there's a word that says, if it had not been for God on my side, where would I be? And agape love is what is described in the verses that I've read in 1 Corinthians 13. Agape is used to describe the love of God for us. And for God, God's very nature is love. Back to chapter 4. Now we're going up to verse 8. Chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, it says, He loveth not know God, for God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this is the King James Version. So God is love. God does not merely just love us. He is love. Everything God does flows from his love. Agape is also used to describe our love for God, Luke 10 and 27. And he answered, said, and this is the King James, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So when you look at this, when you look at how God loves us, when you look at how God pours his love on us, how he sacrificed his son, how Jesus said in the beginning, and Jesus was in the beginning, because in St. John it talks about God was in the beginning and the Word was there. So in Genesis, all the way back in Genesis, Jesus was there. And even back when Adam and Eve sinned, God was making a plan of sacrifice to redeem us back to him so that we could have fellowship with him, so that we could be heirs of the throne with him. So God's very nature is love. And God is true to his nature. So, and God displays his love most clearly on the cross. God being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 5. We did not deserve such a sacrifice, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God's agape love is unmerited, is gracious, and consistently seeking the benefit of the ones he loves. The Bible says we are the underserving participants of his lavish agape love. 1 John 3 and 1. God shows his demonstration of agape love led to the sacrifice of the Son of God for those of us he loves. So in essence, we are to love others with that type of love, whether they are followers or believers, or whether they are bitter enemies. Certainly we are to show them love. And we are all God's creature. And because we are all God's creatures, we are to demonstrate his love regardless of whether or not somebody hurts us, or whether or not even those that are enemies, we are to demonstrate that love to those. And the scriptures that back that up is John 13 and verse 34 and Matthew 5 and 45. And in Matthew, Jesus gives the parable of a good Samaritan as an example of the sacrifice for the sake of others, even for those who may care nothing at all for us. Agape love is modeled by Christ. It is not based on feelings, rather it is determined. It's a determined act of the will, a joyful resolve to put the welfare of others above our own. So, you know, example is in this brutal call, you see, and it's good to see that the people are showing love for one another and showing the support and making sure in the past week that those that may not have had heat have heat. And those that needed to be inside was able to have a place to be inside. Neighbors were helping each other. But we seem to only operate in love when there's a crisis or there's something that happens that we as a people have to bind together. And I believe that God is calling our attention back to him. We are to walk in love even in spite of the crisis. We as the fellowship of Christ are to walk in love. We are walk in the actions that God has given us, because he came and he saved us. He came and pulled us out of some stuff that if it had not been for Jesus on our side, where would we be? We would be trickled down or bogged down in situations that we didn't have any control over, but Christ. But Christ came in and he delivered us. That's the love that God has to make those sacrifices. And we have to walk in his love. We have to walk in his actions. We have to say, God, what is it that you want me to do? How can I walk in the love that you have given me? How can I be helpful to your people? And God, you help me, because we don't do anything of our own accord. We can't, because we do not know the mind of God. And certainly we cannot love people like God loves us. We cannot, and I'm going to say it again, we cannot love people like God loves us unless God gives us the ability and the Holy Spirit operates in us. Time is moving on, and let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you, God, for those that are on the line. I thank you, God, for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, impart into us wisdom. Impart into us the love that we may walk in your love, that we may be your servants, Father God. God, forgive us of all our unrighteous, God. Forgive us of our sins, God. But allow this word to permeate our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Holy Spirit, move like never before in us. God, and we thank you, God, for this weather that we've had, God. We thank you, God, that you do all things well. You know, God, the reason. And God, we thank you, God, because you have supplied our needs, that you are moving in every believer, every person that's on the line. We thank you, God, that you are touching their lives. We thank you, God, that you are moving like never before. We thank you, God, that you are straightening it out. We thank you, God, that they'll never be the same, because the word of God will transform us. Transform us into your image, God. Allow your word to change our hearts, our minds. And God, give us to say yes to your will, your way, and operate in this present time, God, because certainly, God, you have given your love for us. You have given your son for us, because you loved us that much. And we pray, God, that you move mightily in us and allow us to reflect the love that you have given us, or that you have supplied to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank each and every one of you that's on the line. Again, this is Dr. Maria Carey. If you have any questions, any concerns, you can reach me at 309-750-7584, and I will certainly answer your questions to my best ability that God has given me. And I'm going to close with 1 John 3:1, and this is the King James Version. Behold, what manner of love the Father has shown upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because he knew not him. Next week, we're going to talk about who is man, that God is mindful of him. Love you. I see you next week. Bye-bye.